I'm going to ask you, please, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 once again. You know, when you think about the model of a biblical New Testament church, what are some of the characteristics that you actually think about? What would you expect? Certainly you would expect good preaching, worshipful, good music. You'd expect that the church would be Bible-centered, Christ-centered. In the section that we've been looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul really summarizes the section with his introductory command in verse 14, where he says, "Let all things be done with charity." Short verse, but with a lot to say about that. And then in the following verses, he either infers or he states certain characteristics that are manifested in the church that is showing the love of Christ. I think that as we've seen, really the most important attribute that God really highlights is this attribute of love. And if you were here yesterday, or really through a lot of the different things that, a lot of the big productions that we put on, the love of Christ was manifested in such a way, not just through the effort and the work, but through the fellowship of God's people, expressing love to God and to one another. And that was a great blessing. As he says here, there are certain characteristics that are manifested in the church that is letting all things be done with charity. And that needs to be our goal. The first thing that we noted in verse 15 was that a loving church is characterized by those that want to see people saved. People that recognize that they have been entrusted with the gift of eternal life and have a desire and a great love for the lost to go forth and to reach others for Jesus Christ. And so a loving church takes the Great Commission very seriously. Secondly, a loving church has folks in it that we describe, or as the Bible described, as being addicted to the ministry. What a picturesque word to describe the someone's consecration to the ministry. But these are people that live to do the ministry for the Lord. That is their primary goal. It's their habit to go about and to serve the Lord, even when it's not comfortable. You know, sometimes it's not comfortable serving the Lord. But when you're addicted, you have to do it anyway. You just do it. And even when it's hazardous to their health. Why? Because they're addicted. And the third characteristic that we found in verse 16 is that people who are part of a loving church, they submit themselves one to another in the Lord. There is a mutual love and submission among the people of God. These are folks that have already submitted themselves to God. They've already yielded their lives to God, and they willingly humble themselves and submit themselves to each other, not only to their God-ordained authorities, but they submit themselves one to another, esteeming each other better than themselves. They think about the things of others rather than their own thing. And people that love this way are selfless, not selfish, but selfless. And then the last thing that we looked at in this passage, we dealt with the characteristic of a loving church, and we drew this from verses 17 and the beginning of verse 18, where he says this. He says, "I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours." You know, a church that's loving will have this effect on you. When you love this way, you are refreshed. You are refreshed in the Lord and in the fellowship of the saints. And these are folks that have already submitted themselves to God and are willing to submit to each other. And from these verses, we see that in a loving church, this is experienced among God's people. The fellowship of the saints. Fellowship is not just getting together. Fellowship is experiencing the love among God's people. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. These three men that he mentions here in verse 17 came and they ministered their gifts to the Apostle Paul. You know, that's what happens in fellowship. Everybody here that's a believer in Jesus Christ has been gifted in some way. And what fellowship does is provide opportunity for us to be able to use our gifts toward each other, to be an encouragement to each other, and also to receive the benefit of other people's gifts. And so these three men were doing that. They were supplying spiritual strength and encouragement. And the sad thing is that that is what was lacking in the church at Corinth. Paul said, these guys came, we had fellowship, something that you have lacked. Boy, that's kind of a cut. And of course, the Corinthian church was never known as a loving church. But here these three men came and Paul was refreshed by them. So how does fellowship happen? It happens when loving people determine to be around other loving Christian people. It's when we recognize that that is necessary for our spiritual growth, but not just individually, but for the spiritual progress of a church, that we would see this as important. And as I said last time, biblical fellowship doesn't happen with unsaved people. It doesn't happen. We saw several reasons for that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. But there, Paul points out the differences between people that have the indwelling Spirit of God and have been saved by God and those that are unbelievers. And the differences are so great that Paul warns against this intermingling with saved people and lost people. Yes, we understand that we have to do business in a lost world, and we have to be a testimony to those who are lost. But we're not supposed to have that close personal relationship, that interdependent relationship with those that are lost. The Bible describes them as children of darkness. Those that are God's children are considered children of light. That doesn't make us better. That's just the designation that God gives. And Paul is using those terms as an illustration of the difference, right? That being lost and being saved are as different as dark is to light. And that's what he says. They worship idols, we worship God. They believe in the world's philosophies, we believe in the Word of God. And so Paul ends up commanding all of us in 2 Corinthians 6:17. He says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And so folks, if we're more comfortable being around people that aren't saved than we are with saved people, then there's a problem. All right, there is a problem there. And I'm talking about desiring to be around unbelievers for the social and even for the emotional support and benefits you might receive from them. And folks, that's a reality. You will receive benefits, those kind of benefits, from unsaved people. Remember, the lost world is able to support and encourage and even stimulate your longings in the flesh. You'll be happy to do so. They'd be happy to encourage you to do that. Why go to church? Let's go boating. Why do you want to fellowship with God's people? Let's go bowling. Right? They'll be happy to encourage you in those things that are pleasing to your flesh. But let me tell you this, no matter how long you stay with unbelievers, they'll never edify you. They don't have anything in them that can build you up spiritually. And you'll never have biblical fellowship with them. That only happens with God's people. I trust that happened already today. I hope that happens throughout the morning and throughout our evening. Well, that brings us to the next characteristic of a loving church, and I'm just going to be very brief with this. I know we've got so much going on today, but I did want to highlight this. I was going to do another one also, but I thought, you know what, we'll just focus on this one thing this morning. But it's really, we see it at the end of verse 18, where he just simply says, therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. And based on that phrase, what characteristic is stated or commanded here? Basically, to do what? What's the verb that he uses here?
Acknowledge.
To acknowledge. Acknowledge whom? Those who are such. And when he talks about those who are such, what is he exemplifying there? He's talking about people that manifest the same loving characteristics in the church. The same thing. These are people that are watching. They're standing fast in the faith. They are fighting like men. They are strong, and they desire to manifest the love of Christ in the body of Christ for the edification of the body. He says, when you see people like that, he says, you acknowledge them. People in the assembly that are addicted to the ministry, those that are submitted to the Lord and the brethren and promote Christian fellowship in the body. Paul's instruction here is that the Corinthians needed to acknowledge people like that. They needed to make note of people like that. That word acknowledge, it's interesting. It actually means to know upon. To know upon. It means to become thoroughly acquainted with people that display this kind of love in a church, and actually to emulate or to follow that kind of behavior in the church. It means to recognize something or someone for what they are according to the Word of God. And in the context here, Paul is exhorting them to recognize faithful, godly workers for who they are, for what they are. And what he's calling is for a show of respect and appreciation to the people that really give their lives in the service of the ministry that God has called them to. Now, this could come in many different forms, right? This could come in a very private form, showing appreciation for somebody's ministry, showing appreciation for an act that someone may have done on your behalf or on behalf of the ministry, as well as a public mention of thanksgiving for faithful service in the Lord, in the body. And folks, listen, proper displays of respect and admonition and appreciation to faithful works is not only right, it's well-pleasing to God. God is pleased when we do that. Typically, the Corinthian church, when you read through that, they were neither respectful nor were they appreciative of anything that was going on there. Each member seemed to be only concerned with their own thing. They only seemed to be concerned with their own prestige and their own recognition. They were more likely to criticize each other rather than to praise each other. And folks, that's not a gift, by the way. Right? You don't have the gift of criticism. All right, that's not a biblical gift. That's not something you should pray for, right? If you have it, you should pray to get rid of it, right? It's not something that we seek for. These were people, the Corinthian church, were people that say, you know what, I'm of Paul, you're nothing. Or they say, well, you know, I'm of Apollos, so I'm something. I'm Cephas, or I am of Christ. They divided each other just by those names without actually ever showing appreciation for the people that they were associating with. In the biblical pattern for the church, godly persons are elevated by God. God's pleased with godly people because of their love for God, for their love for truth, their love for holiness, their love for the advancement of God's kingdom. God's pleased with that. And these people are to be acknowledged, Paul says. They're to be respected. And they're to be imitated. You know, when we're addicted to the ministry, right, it shouldn't be something that is abnormal in the body. It shouldn't be something where anybody else would say, well, you know, she just does that because she's a fanatic. No, she does that because she's addicted to the ministry, which is a positive thing. And that's something that we should say, you know what, I want to be that way. I want to do that for the Lord. Maybe not in the same capacity, but I want to have the same love and the same zeal. But see, our flesh says, you know, if you just diminish what they're doing by calling them fanatical, then you don't have to worry about it in your life. You don't have to try to emulate that in your life. And then one day we'll give an account for that, folks. We'll stand before God because of that. Now, we're not to idolize men. I think we all understand that. We're not to lift up a pastor or a deacon. We're not to lift up any personas in a church. But we are to acknowledge those who are faithfully ministering their gifts in the body. I think sometimes, as a reaction to fearing bringing glory to men, that we actually withhold things that we ought to show toward one another. We're afraid of lifting, or we'll say something like this. This is very spiritual. I don't want you to get a big head. But thank you for that. And what we're trying to do is say, you know, I don't really want to glorify you. Listen, if people are going to get a big head, that will be their problem. They don't need you to try to encourage them not to get a big head, right? What I'm about to say is really has the potential of you getting a big head, all right? This is how good what I'm about to say is really good. And the potential of you getting a big head is really great. So don't get a big head, but thank you for such and such. People don't need that kind of encouragement, right? The Holy Spirit can do that for you. The Holy Spirit will do that work for you. But I think sometimes we're so afraid, right? And none of us wants to worship any man. I don't think anybody here is foolish enough to realize that we need to lift up people that way. We don't. But recognition is what Paul is talking about here. And we are so fearful that we don't even recognize people that are doing good work for the Lord. Paul says you need to recognize such. You need to acknowledge such. Does the Bible give us any other kind of instruction that way? How about this? Here you go, ladies. Husbands are told to honor their wives. And wives are told to submit to their husbands, right? But how about this? We are all told to honor our mothers and fathers. So that's an honor, right? You know what that means? To give glory in some sense to them. Right? Husbands, give glory and honor to your wife in some way. The Bible teaches that we're to honor widows. The Bible also teaches that we are to honor those that are elders. Right? Getting on in years. Peter exhorts us to honor all men. How about this? He tells us to honor the king. Honor the king. And he doesn't say what political party he has to be in. He just says you have to honor the king. The showing of respect and honor and appreciation toward God's people is something that God expects. He wants us to show. Isn't it a show of appreciation? Certainly we want to honor God. And we honor God by showing our appreciation to him. Right? We worship him. We honor him. We praise him. But what God says in a different level is that those people that God brings into our assembly that especially minister these things, that we ought to appreciate that. And we ought to express that appreciation. We ought to say thank you or something like that. And so a loving church really takes special care to note in the assembly those that are faithful in the use of their gifts to God's glory. You know, I said that every one of us has a gift. But folks, it's obvious that not everyone in every church uses their gifts. Not everybody does. Although it's required, God expects us to. And you say, well, I can't. Listen, if you want to use your gift, you go to the Lord and say, God, you see my circumstance, and I'm very limited in being able to use my gift. But I want to use your gift. You know what he's going to do? He's going to open an opportunity for you to use that gift. Be watchful, because that's exactly what he's going to do. He wants you to do it. He knows all of the obstacles in your life. And he still is going to have you to do it. And when you use it, then God is blessed. And God wants us to acknowledge that. And when people use their gifts for the edification of the body, it should be acknowledged. Now, those who are truly worthy of this honor, what you find is they never seek it. These aren't people that ever come up to you and say, hey, did you notice I did this? Hey, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? You know, nobody came up to me and said, Pastor Jones, you've got to come up and you've got to see what we did. Right? Or you walk around. You walk out in the back. I have the benefit of living on the property. And Johnny was playing with the lights last night from remotely, right, with his phone. And I had the benefit of the light show. As a matter of fact, I saw the lights go on and I got the boys all dressed up and we came out. And we walked among all the lights as the light show was going on. Anyway, we're in for a good show tonight as far as that goes. But anyhow, nobody came up to me and said, Pastor Jones, I want you to see this. And while you're looking at it, can you kind of give me a, you know, a well done or something like that. Nobody ever does that, right? People that are really serving the Lord this way, they are never seeking that kind of honor. And one of the things that makes them honorable, folks, is their humility before the Lord to share their gift for His glory. Because really, when you use your gifts this way, you understand the gift isn't in and of you. It's not something that is innately in you that merits the glory of others. You recognize God is the one that enabled me to do this. God is the one that should get the glory for that. And so we don't seek it ourselves, right? But though we don't seek or desire honor, those of us who benefit from the selfless work of others, the selfless expressions of love of others, we should desire to manifest that. We should desire to acknowledge that, even if it's privately. And if you're afraid to say anything face to face, they make thank you cards, right? They make blank thank you cards if you want to draw a little face on the front and decorate it yourself. But my point is that it takes some effort. And your flesh will fight it. Because your flesh knows that will be an encouragement to some part of the body. And the devil will fight you from doing it. I mean, we think, how hard is it to get a piece of cardstock and a pen and an envelope? You'd be surprised. You might be able to find the card, you might not find the pen. And forget about looking for an envelope that's going to actually fit in a card, right, that you just cut out yourself. My point is that we need to just follow through on what he's talking about. A call on the phone. An acknowledgement face to face. Thank you for your part in that. Thank you for what you did. It was a blessing to my heart. How many times have you walked around in different situations and commented to someone else, you know what, that was a blessing? Well, you should go to the person that was the blessing and say, you know, I just want to say thank you. You know, maybe to you it was a small thing, but I just want you to know it touched my heart and encouraged me. That's what a loving church does. A loving church is so concerned about the whole church that it manifests this kind of attitude. It acknowledges one another. And he describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's jump over there real quick. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul wrote this. He said, beginning in verse 12, he said, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." I think that Paul here is actually referring to three different activities. Could be the same person doing all three, but generally all three of these activities are being accomplished in some way in the body at all times. But he mentions those that labor among us in any capacity. Right? And there are a lot of people that labor among us. Some that you don't know are laboring among us. Or you don't know when they are laboring among us. There are those that are over us in the Lord. Those spiritual authorities in your life. Those that desire to admonish you. This could be a friend. It could be a sibling, a parent, or anyone that loves you enough to talk to you about your spiritual walk. When somebody wants to talk to you about an issue in your life, instead of being on the defensive, you ought to be thankful that somebody loves you, that somebody cares enough about you to be able to talk to you. Because, folks, ultimately, when we stand before Christ, it's going to be times like that that are going to make it more pleasant in God's presence. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, that I could deal with it in this life, so as not to have to deal with it in the life afterward. And so those spiritual authorities, etc., Paul says to know them in 1 Thessalonians 5. And again, that word know them is the same root from the word in 1 Corinthians 16 that says acknowledge. So acknowledge them specifically, Paul says in verse 13, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, folks, how much effort is required to esteem someone very highly? Not much. But it takes more than ignoring them. Right? I mean, it takes you it takes you to recognize that someone has done a work for the Lord. And then to be stirred in your own heart and appreciate that so much to make mention of it, right? That's the idea of esteeming very highly in love. That means we've got to get our focus off of ourselves, who we generally esteem pretty highly, and then focus that upon someone else. It's showing esteem, respect, and appreciation for the work they do in the Lord, in the body. And folks, we are so blessed here. We really are. You hear testimony of people that come into this ministry that speak other and minister in other places. We really are blessed here with the love of Christ and people who love the Lord and love God's people. And a loving church acknowledges the Lord working through these kinds of people. And listen, my encouragement today is, in light of what he's saying here, if you want to be a loving Christian, let's not be stingy with our acknowledgement, right? Let's not think, well, that really didn't meet my level, right? It was good, right? But not to the level where I think I'm actually going to say something about it. Let's not be stingy about acknowledging God's working. Let's not think, well, I don't want them to get a big head. Let God deal with that. Right? You fulfill what you're supposed to do. Don't worship them. I'm not telling you to worship anybody. But you certainly can give a word of encouragement, a word of thanks to anybody that has done so many things. We can be stingy with our thanks. You know what we need to be stingy with? Our criticisms. Let's be stingy with our criticisms. Let's be stingy about our complaints. Right? Think about what you say. Is what I'm about to say going to be an encouragement to someone? Or is it in some way going to drag them down a little bit and make them feel bad? We need to be generous with our acknowledgments of one another. You know why? Because that's what a loving church does. And may God help us to look at all of these different characteristics and desire to implement them into our own life. Folks, if we were to take all of these together, and there's a few more that I'll finish up with next time. If we were to implement all of these things together, we would have this working body where all of us were working together, and we would see a power that we have not seen since, that we have not seen before. It'll be a church that God can work through. May God help us to be that kind of church. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, I am so thankful for your working in our ministry. I'm thankful. Lord, my heart was just filled with joy yesterday at so many people that were involved with the program and involved with the decorations inside, and then all of the work that is going on outside and the people that are participating in different things. And then, Lord, we just look at the things that we enjoy every single day. We enjoy the upkeep of our building. We enjoy the cleanliness of the building. Lord, there are so many things that we can be thankful for. We come and our children are being taught. And Lord, I pray that we just wouldn't take any of these things for granted. But Lord, that we would be thankful first and foremost to you, because you deserve the praise. You deserve the honor and the glory. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be appreciative to those that show forth this kind of consecration and commitment and addiction to the ministry you have called us all to. And I do pray, Lord, that even throughout the day, that we might just be willing to give a word of thanks and appreciation for the things that people are doing in this ministry. Lord, we thank you for providing the ministry and for providing those that are gifted and those that are using their gifts for your glory. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.